Today on Real Radio.
Jonah's verse here, 2:9, tells us that he had already in times past made a vow to God. He renews that vow. He says, I will sacrifice to you. That's in the present tense. Why? Because I already made a vow to you. What does it mean to us today?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament account of Jonah. We all know the story, but exactly how deep have you really looked into this account? Have you ever studied chapter 2, which is essentially the prayer of Jonah? It's such a turning point in this narrative that our teacher is leading us in a mini-series taken from the passage. It's called A Change in Course. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
God is working in your life to get you to cry out to Him. Maybe you're wayward from God, like Jonah, or maybe like the prodigal son, you've ran away. And the situations of life, by the way, there's a lot of parodies between the prodigal son and Jonah. You got to study those scriptures together. I find it comforting, by the way, that in the prodigal son, in that great story, there's no mention of God being with the father and the brother that stayed at home, is there? You don't know anything about them until the end. Why? Because they're not the point of the story. The sinner son, the rebellious son, is living in the world and doing wrong. And what is the whole narrative about? All of his actions. How do we know that? Because God is with him. If you've been wayward, God's been with you. I know it didn't feel like it, and I know he's let you feel that you've been very isolated, but he's been watching every move you make, every step you take. I'll be watching you. He's been with you to bring you back. And by the way, as God was with that prodigal son, so God is with Jonah, and we get insights by the will of God into what's going on inside Jonah's heart. We get so caught up about the great fish. What about the fish? What about the fish? What's going on with the fish that we fail to realize what's going on inside of Jonah? In a sense, Jonah is dying to himself and coming back to the will of God. But that's what happens when we cast ourselves upon God. We become desperate for him. We come to the end of ourselves. Look at verse 7. When we're helpless to change and we know it, we come to the end of ourselves. He says in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me. Boy, we could read through those words so quick and lose it. It's when we completely give up. He says, I remember the Lord and my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Wow. My soul fainted. I believe something, and I don't know how this is going to be received, but know this before I say it. We cry out to God to heal us, and that's a good thing. We ask God to send healing in our lives. That's a great thing. But sometimes before the healing can ever come, God sends a surgeon with a knife. He brings about the effect by great pain and difficulty, hardship. Class, listen up. How do we know when we're in that mode, when we're in that place? Because we hear and we say things like this. I can't take this anymore. When's it going to change? It's hopeless. I don't know how we're going to be delivered from this. When you come to that point, listen. Please hear this. When you get so desperate before God that all you can do is what took Jonah 3 days to do. 3 days of being swallowed by a great fish and living in this hell underwater, Jonah then prays. And you say, well, what did it take them 3 days? I don't know. Let me ask you this question. Why is it when I meet with a husband or a wife about their broken marriage and I ask questions? Well, why did she leave you? I don't know, he says. Yes, you do know. I'm not a good counselor. Believe me, you don't want to talk to me. You do know. You know. I really don't know. I say to him, you do know. How can I know? Okay. Do you ever remember her saying things like, I wish you would this or I wish you would that? Yeah. What were those things? I wish you would listen to me. Okay, what else did she say? I wish you would spend time with me. What else? I wish you'd give me attention. I don't know, I wasn't really listening to her, but... And now she's gone. Yes, and I want her back. I can't live without her. Maybe that's the whole point. Maybe God's going to teach you how to live for him. But I want her back, but I want her back. And this part really drives me to the brink of profound spirituality or wanting to strangle him. Are you going to the prayer meetings? Are you praying for your wife? Are you fasting? Are you crying out loud with her name on your lips? Huh? What? Are you praying, man, to save your home? No. And see, the pastor part of me says, well, we need to develop a prayer life for you. So I want you to write a few things down. The Jack part of me says, get out of my office. You're wasting my time. Because if you're not serious enough to pray, you don't care about your wife or your husband or your children or your parents. If you're not praying for them, you don't care about the situation. Don't talk to me. If you're desperate enough, if you hurt bad enough, if it's really big and bad enough, you will pray. How do I know? Jonah taught us this. It took him 3 days. And I meet with some people, it takes them 6 months to pray for their husband or for their wife. No wonder marriages are falling apart at the seams. God is saying, if I find one man to intercede and stand in the gap, I will respond. We need to pray. Oh, it's such a tremendous thing. And God help this nation to pray again. A year ago, praying was so in vogue, and now it's out. We need to pray all the time. God loves America enough, he may send us an earthquake in California every day. See, Pastor, don't say that. Don't say that. Oh, why not? Because I don't like when the ground moves. Why? What does it cause you to do? Pray. Then God bring it on if that's what it takes. C.S. Lewis calls it severe mercy. When we won't respond, God turns up the dial. Can you imagine? When our lives are blessed and we prosper, we easily forget God. Every one of us. It's written in the book of Proverbs. When riches increase, we set our hearts upon them, but they'll take wings and fly away. And then what happens? God, where are you? Now, I'm not knocking it. It's great to come back to God. Isn't it wonderful to come back to him? Isn't it great that he's there? He's always there. But his great love for me, he has forgiven me so much, and I so often abuse him and leave him. But I need to come to the end of myself. There's a story I'm reminded of. It's a wonderful story. There's Farmer John. Farmer John, he's got 3 sons. And his one son, he got bit by a rattlesnake. They didn't know what to do. They finally dawned on them, we better call the doctor, because you know what? They'd never gone to church in all their life. They would see people drive by their farmhouse every Sunday on their way to church. They'd make fun of those Christians going to church. But now Farmer John, his son got bit by a rattlesnake. So as he looked on and his 2 other sons looked on, that kid got more sick and more sick. And then the doctor comes and says, he's going to die. It's too late. Your son's going to die. And so Farmer John, in desperation now, he's desperate. He's come to the end of himself. He calls for the pastor in the community. Pastor can't believe it. He gets this note. I got to this address. This has got to be the wrong address. I know Farmer John's house. He does not want me to come. And so Farmer John goes to the house. Or the doctor goes to Farmer John's house, and Farmer John grabs the pastor and says, "Pastor, please pray for my son." And so the pastor prays. "Lord, this is quite a snake bite he's got, and I thank you for it. God, it's through this snake bite that got this family to call out to you. It's through this snake bite that this man's been brought now to the brink of death, and you're his only answer. Oh, God in heaven," the pastor prays, "send more snakes to this house. Bring better snakes and bigger snakes to this house. Have all these men be bitten in this house with great rattlesnakes that they all might cry out to you." In Jesus' name, he says, "Amen." And they look at him and he says, "Hey, what years of witnessing wouldn't do, what years of invitation to this house to come to church wouldn't do, to know God wouldn't do. I thank God for these snakes." And as the pastor leaves, he says, "Lord, send him snakes." Well, what is it in your life or in my life? "I got it, God. I can do it from here. I'll do the Jonah thing. I'll do the prodigal son thing. Oh, God, if that's us, send us snakes." See, "Pastor, don't pray that for me." I'm praying it for you. I'm praying it for me. If we are off the path and wandering from God's perfect, lovable, awesome will, you know, there's nothing better. God who loves us, he'll send a snake. And I hate snakes. All I have to do is see a snake, and I want to get right with God again. Verses 8 and 10 teach us this about a change of course, that we realize that God's in control. Isn't that funny? This is a funny story. This is great. Jonah, he's Israel's prophet. He's Israel's prophet. He's the man. If God wants to speak to Israel, he's got to talk through Jonah. Everybody knows it. And I don't know how Jonah rode around Israel, but he was the man, the prophet of God. Pulls into town, the prophet's here. He's a big guy. Now he's running. He gets on a ship. He gets thrown overboard because that's what he wants. He gets swallowed by a great fish. Little does he know, in all of his swank and cockiness, this fish has swallowed him and it's swimming right toward the Mediterranean coast of Israel. Jonah is realizing, and he confesses it in his prayer, "God's in control." Remember when we were kids, we'd wrestle. We wrestle for ice creams. Remember that? You wrestle with your friends. Beat them up. "Okay, now you got to buy me that ice cream cone." Or you used to grab their arm and bend and say, "Say, uncle. Say, give." "I give." God doesn't necessarily come down and get in a fight with us. He just sends a fish. Jonah's heart and mind has changed. There's repentance. Jonah's realized that God's in control. And I love how that sounds. Listen to the mercy. Verse 8, "The Lord's our mercy." He says, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." Now, you could argue that Jonah's making mention of the pagan sailors that were on the ship. Remember, they had their idols, but they got rid of those things and they came to the Lord, remember? Those guys, they're Gentiles. They threw away their idols, accepted the Lord. They're on the ship in smooth water for 3 days and three nights. Where's Jonah? He's in torment in the belly of a fish. Those guys are on top, just sailing right along. And they're Gentiles. And Jonah says, "You know what? Those who worship and lean upon stupid idols forsake their own mercy. Those who are trying to make it their own way give up the very hope that they want to attain. Class, listen. Those who are trying to impress God with their own righteousness wind up inheriting the wind, the whirlwind. Wow. Forsake trying to obtain on your own and to attain and give up. It's when you give up that the mercies of God come. And so the mercy comes from the Lord. Verse 9 teaches us this, realizing that God's in control. Jonah makes a great confession. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed, says your Bible. Salvation is of the Lord. Notice this important. Those Gentiles were saved, they made sacrifice, and they made vows. Jonah's verse here, 2:9, tells us that he had already in times past made a vow to God. He renews that vow. He says, I will sacrifice to you. That's in the present tense. Why? Because I already made a vow to you. What does that mean to us today? Christian, did you at some point in time give your heart to Jesus? Did you say, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. When was that for you? Was it last week? Was it 20 years ago? Was it longer? When was it for you? And maybe like Jonah, you've erred since. Jonah says, I'm going to make a new sacrifice. Because why? Because I already in the past made a vow unto God. You know what he's saying? I'm going to honor what I said in the past. And the proof of me honoring that is to make a sacrifice to God. Everybody, what's the sacrifice he makes? It's thanksgiving. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. People, in the belly of the fish, he couldn't offer a little lamb. He couldn't offer a pigeon or a dove or a goat. Immediately, instantly, listen, those of you who have backslidden and fallen away from God and not walking with God, don't go do anything. Don't give money. Don't sign up. Do nothing. But one thing, right where you're at now in your heart and in your mind, in your soul, make a sacrifice. It's to collectively take all of your past and to see that God, through the preaching of this message, now you know he's been with you the whole time, through thick and thin, through hardship, all of it, and you say, God, in my pain, in being swallowed up by these things, I will make this sacrifice now. I want to thank you. Because I'm hearing today that you never left me. I'm hearing today that you're with me. I'm hearing today I get to come back. I will make an offering, a sacrifice of praise and thank him. This is true faith. When you can thank God in the midst of difficult times. That's the true faith of a believer. There are many fair weather followers of God. They bless him when they're blessed, but they curse him when they're cursed. What did Job say? Job says, though he smite me, though he curse me, yet I will trust in him. That's faith. That answers, my friend, why you and I go through so much in this life. You may have wandered from God, and God brings you back through hardship. You may be right on with God, and you find yourself in the midst of hardship. Both are the result, or to bring about, I should say, the result of us growing deeper in our knowledge of God. He will not let us go. And he says, salvation's of the Lord. Isn't that tremendous? Boy, is that true? Salvation's of God. Why is it that someone can sit in here and hear the same message, person sitting right next to them, and one person just goes, I don't get it. I don't understand a word of this. And then someone next to them says, I got it. I got it. One walks away not knowing God. The other one walks to God. How does that happen? It's the Lord. It's God. It's amazing. Finally, I love this verse. Verse 10. It's great. The Lord's our God. He's God. And he's in control. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Oh, man. Some of your Bibles say spew. And the great fish the Lord spoke to, and it spewed Jonah onto the dry land. That's really nice. That sounds nice, huh? Spew. That's in the woman's version of the Bible, to spew. When women are nauseous and sick, they spew. Oh, I'm sick. I think I have to go spew. Sounds so nice. Guys don't spew. We vomit. We barf or we puke. Women are so cool. Oh, I'm going to excuse myself. I'm going to be sick. Guys go, hey, hang on. I got to go chuck. Regardless, it is a violent act that's here. And it's beautiful. What is implied in the Hebrew is very, very cool. The fish wanted to vomit. You ever been there? That fish is like, oh, should I swim to shore or what? I don't know. Oh. He wanted Jonah out. God's economy is perfect because not only did the whale want to vomit Jonah out, Jonah needed to be vomited. And so he's deposited on the shore. It's an awesome thing.
Yes, it is. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, elaborating on the rather humorous and unusual circumstances surrounding one of God's rebellious prophets and how the Almighty won at the end of the day. This is part of a mini-series taken from Jonah chapter 2, which is essentially a record of the desperate prayer of the runaway prophet. It's a presentation called A Change in Course, part of our teacher series on the Old Testament narrative of Jonah, an account that contains valuable lessons for each of us on running from the will of our Maker. We'll continue with this series on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. This verse-by-verse journey through Jonah really applies to everyone, including you and me. And that's why, for your own personal review and study, we're making available to you this series in an 11 CD set. Our offer? For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it out to you. Remember, all you contribute goes toward the different costs associated with bringing you this program each weekday, and it's all tax deductible. So, whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention the title, Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, we now have a new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us and send your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. And of course, any of this contact information that you may have missed can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.